seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. If I could talk and push a button at the same time, that'd be great. We'll get that from playing again. Well, good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And I guess we've got Pastor Cox here, too. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Ralph.
And, guys, I'll be here. I know we have a couple callers lined up, so as usual, we'll do our best to get them right in as soon as we get them called in.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Well, good evening, Pastor. Here we are another Wednesday, hopefully having some great testimonies to the wonderful works of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, doing the process, which is commonly called deliverance.
Amen and amen. And, you know, these commands of Jesus that Brother Chris was reading earlier, these commands to cast out evil spirits, and he meant them. We believers are to be doing them, and when we do them, guess what? Miracles happen. People's lives turn around. Problem areas disappear that have bothered them in many cases all their lives. I see it now because most people that we minister to, and I've been doing it 39 years now, and our Monday night deliverance service, we've done 33 years now with our teams that have gone through our training, and we keep seeing it work. And if we had not ministered to them, they would still have those problems in so many cases. So I see it, why Jesus commanded believers to do it, because our experience is now most Christians have their share of spirits that are trying to block their lives, their gifts, their destinies, and they're doing a pretty good job on it with many Christians. Probably the majority of Christians have not had their freedom that God really wants them to have. So here we are, Ralph. Our job is to tell it, to share it, and to spread the good news. Amen?
Amen. That was the Great Commission, to go out and preach the gospel, which is the good news. Well, good Lord willing, next week I'll be performing at least one, if not two, deliverances. I want to give this testimony out. I know I've already given it to Pastor Cox and a few others. But I got this call last week from somebody down in the Arkansas area over towards Little Rock. And she started talking, just kind of rambling on about all these different problems she was having. And it all boiled down to she was looking for someone to sharpen some items. And, of course, that's what I do for a living, as I sharpen. And as she's talking to me, I start realizing this woman needs deliverance. I didn't say this, let her talk a little bit. But what was interesting was as she got my number, because she was sitting down on a curb and she was praying that the Lord would send her the help that she needed. And my business card blew up to her feet. And that's what she decided to call me.
Hallelujah.
And as she was talking to me, I told this lady, I said, I don't think you realize the hand of God. She kept saying, well, I believe it's the hand of God. How much the hand of God is? Because she just thought I was a sharpener, yet I was able to tell her, well, I'm a deliverance minister. And I gave her some information to help her out. We prayed. I talked to her a little bit about deliverance. She said she was familiar with the process. We exchanged phone numbers. And hopefully sometime next week I will be able to meet up with her and perform a deliverance. But it's just amazing how we were talking last week, how you've had the Lord just say, well, someone tell you, the Lord told me just to call this number or to look up this website. And here it was, just a business card blew up to it, a single business card. So
yeah,
don't be concerned about how... Yep. Yeah, divine intervention.
definitely don't be concerned about how
you're going to get the word out, because if people are having a need and they're asking the Lord will bring them.
Yes, and He will coordinate us and put us together. We've seen that happen over and over. It's a very humbling experience, and also means we better know our business here. We better know how to do this. And do the steps that we've learned to do to make every effort to really get them set free and healed. But yes, you'd have to call that your car just blowing along in front of her. You have to call it supernatural. And we deal in that a lot. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And not only I was ready in season and out of season. And that's one of the keys there out there. When you're wanting to be a minister and do service for the Lord, is you have to be ready in season and out of season. And
you had shown yourself approved.
Yes. Well, I think I did at that time. I was ready for it. I was able to recognize that she was needed more than just a sharpening. But but anyway, we are having a men's training coming up in Oklahoma City. August 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, we'll be meeting the weekend of the eclipse, leading up to the eclipse, and we are going to train people if you need deliverance or want to be trained as a deliverance minister. We are doing this to grow closer to the Holy Spirit, get to hear from the Holy Spirit, grow closer to Jesus, to train men, and to help set this nation free. So if you're interested in participating or being there, contact us at info@deliveranceusa.com, and we will have someone get back with you. I know that we've already had a few inquiries on that, so praise the Lord on that. And one of the reasons that we are gathering, the Holy Spirit was talking to us about we needed to get together and coordinate between several men. One of the men said, you know, we got together one time before Halloween. We got together one time at the spring equinox. Now we've got a solar eclipse coming up, and all of these are High Holy Days for witchcraft. So not only are we getting together to learn, we're getting together so we can come against that, because we have power over all of that. All power and authority, Luke 10:19.
Yes, yes. And this is not the first time that the group has come in from all over, even some from Alaska. They've been here a number of times to Oklahoma City now, and going through the training and then going back out. They're from California to the East Coast, and there's several that come from Alaska, from Fairbanks even, which is even on north, north of Anchorage. And Anchorage is a long ways from here. I've been to Alaska several times, and it's a long trip. So they mean it when they're coming that far to learn, and the Lord's really put it on them to set the people free and see them healed.
And those men from Alaska will be here joining us again, and I believe that both the men from California confirmed, as well as the man from the East Coast. So I'm looking forward to seeing all these brothers in Christ again. But, you know, these are men who are willing. They say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." And we know that the Bible talks about it often, where God is searching for that man who's willing to do that. He's willing to step
yes.
up and stand in the gap, and willing to do the things that is so simply laid out in Scripture. And I'm not too judgmental about those who don't see it, because I sure as heck didn't see it for the longest time. And it amazes me that since I have learned a lot of these scriptures about our power and authority, learned more about the demonic realm, how much Pastor Peters was delving into that towards the last few years of his ministry. Because it seems like I had never heard the scripture of Luke 10:19 before I met you, Pastor. And I heard a sermon last week where he must have said it three or four times in the sermon and was stressing we have all power and authority over that. So it's funny how we can see something in Scripture and it just never jump out, and then boom, when
yeah.
it's there, you get a hold of it, and it's a complete revelated knowledge and understanding. And that's the great thing about the Word of God, because it is living. It is living. It's not a dead document. It's a living, and every time you read it, you glean something new from it.
Yes. Very few people have grown up in this. Everybody that I know has come from somewhere. I was age 44 before I got introduced to it, and that's kind of the case with most of our ministers that have gone through the training. You know, they were long in the years into their life, and before somehow they got introduced to it, and then the Lord really put it on them to minister to the hurting people around them. And, of course, we all know they're everywhere. That problem list that we have on our website, it's the names of demons that we have run into over and over, and they represent problems like fear and panic attacks and depression and anger and rage, and it just goes on and on. Problem areas that are overboard and out of balance and tormenting and reoccurring, well, that's usually the tip-off. There's an evil spirit behind it. And once we figure that out, then we can move forward in ministry. And we find usually most Christians unload about three dozen spirits. So it's no wonder they're better afterwards and able to go forward in their ministries, because the demons, when they are manifesting and talking, they always say how they're there with those three dozen problem areas that they put on the people to block their destiny, to block their gifts, and blocking their lives so they don't go forward. So that's why Jesus told us to do it. We were attempting to free up the body of Christ and getting the word out. That's why we're on the show, isn't it?
Amen, it is. And because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And we have to remember, when Peter wrote that, he was writing to a bunch of unbelievers. He was writing to Christians. And when James said to resist the devil and he will flee, he was writing to Christians. So there's definitely hindrances out there. Christians are the ones that the devil and you know, the demons want to take out, because they're the ones that are an adversary to them. The unbeliever, there's no reason to take them out, because they're already lost. So it is possible for Christians to have this, and it can be a hindrance. And I was explaining to someone today, a family member of mine, who has really struggled over the years with drug and alcohol abuse, and he was going into a treatment plan today to sober up and wants me to get him through deliverance when he gets out. So praise the Lord on that. Hopefully he'll go through with it. But one thing I was talking to him about is it's not the devil made me to do it. It's you did the sin, but you were deceived. You were lied to. The voices convince you. All these things, all these hindrances convince you that it's okay to do it. And that's the whole goal of the demonic realm, is to get you to sin, because sin separates us from God. And so hopefully he'll follow through with that. I do believe we have our first caller on the line. Aaron, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Everett.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah,
no problem. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, Aaron's, well, you might tell it, Aaron, how you first learned about this area, this works of Jesus called deliverance, and then whatever experiences that you've had in this. I think you went through deliverance yourself. You might share anything about that you'd want to, and then tell what you've been seeing. And we're trying to get the word out. This is a valid part of the gospel and a major works of Jesus that he told us to do. But go ahead, Aaron,
right,
if you would, just share.
Sure. My name is Aaron. I am 27 years old. I actually first heard about this ministry through my brother and dad. And to be quite honest, I'm not really sure how they heard of this ministry at the beginning, but they went in for deliverance, I believe, in the middle of May. And I decided to go through because I knew I had heard that there was training. And before I wanted to start training, I wanted to go through deliverance myself. And I believe the first time I came was the last week of May. I wasn't sure what to expect. And it really, really was a great experience. I really appreciate just in terms of the deliverance aspect, the practicality of the process, and just how powerful it is to walk someone through this kind of deliverance, because to have this kind of freedom when you're done being ministered is really incredible. And the kind of experiences that I've seen and the people that we've dealt with, since then has, like you've always said, that every time of ministry is different. There's not one that's the same.
Yes.
And the things that I've learned, it's endless, the things that I've learned since then. I'm just this short period of time, it's only been 2 months, and I've missed a few times, but I've tried to stay consistent, but it's really been uplifting.
Well, Aaron, on your deliverance, when you came, and if you're comfortable in sharing any problem areas that were bugging you, but what went on? Did you feel these spirits move around and come out or anything, or how do you know evil spirits were coming out?
Well, I think that my deliverance ministry was just a little unique because of, I guess, of how familiar I am with, or I say that I'm familiar with the way the Holy Spirit moves and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I came through ministry for my deliverance, I kind of expressed that and kind of walked through it a little differently. And the way that my minister did it was, it was almost like the head demon technique, in terms of he could sense that I was aware of the Holy Spirit, and that I could more than likely be able to tell if there was a spirit that was dwelling inside of me that I needed to deal with. And so we kind of had this back and forth conversation in terms of he would speak directly through me and ask if there was a spirit of pride or a spirit of rebellion. And I was able to hear whether or not that spirit was, and there were a few things that I needed to deal with, and I could tell through my spirit that those things were present, and we would renounce those things, which was really powerful. And then he would ask again, and after we were done renouncing those things, I could sense that those spirits were gone.
Praise God.
It really felt relieving, and I know that since I've had that deliverance, the things that I came for deliverance for have definitely been freed from those things. And
Praise God.
You feel like this different kind of spiritual freedom that you didn't have before you come through this ministry.
Yes, and so many report that very thing. And I'll bet your special gifts that God's given you, you probably noticed they've really opened up for you to use them. Is that a fair question?
Yes, they've kind of come like a floodgate where it seems that when you walk into the building that there's just a different kind of presence than when you're out in the parking lot. It's you open that door and you walk through and you have this kind of presence and feeling that that things are going to happen. And it's a different kind of experience, and it's I see myself every week just really like yearning for more things to take place and for more spiritual breakthroughs and really for like a deepening of my spiritual gifts and also breaking through for the people that come in and desperately want freedom, and to see them walk out and be free when we're done with them is just like you feel. It's almost as if you feel so proud to be on God's team, because when you leave that building, you're wiped out. You're tired, and it's like you just went through a battlefield and you came out victorious when you were done. And it's a pretty amazing feeling when you're done.
It's a good feeling, amen.
Yes. Oh, yes.
A good feeling. Well, Aaron, you've been going through the training as you are and getting a teaching on the other side of the church there in their, what we call the war room. Then you've been setting in with a team leader each time, which is part of our training and kind of on hand to observe and learn. Can you share some of the things you've seen? You set in with me, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Remember?
I've tried to sit in with just about every male minister. There are a few that I haven't been able to yet, just because they haven't been there or I had missed a day. But one that stands out particularly, I sat in with Jerry, and we ministered over this man, and he had come in, and he had just been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and he had dealt with some depression and stress, as well as some laziness, and we had went through the the introduction and all the way through the interview. And this guy seemed very quiet, and he had a thick accent. But when we were going through the interview, I just felt, and I really feel like, and I hope that we can get something out of this man, because he wasn't really giving us much information. and I can see, I'm looking at my ministry report right now, that the first page was pretty blank. And because it just, you know, there wasn't much information that coming out. And I believe that this man had come specifically to have the head demon technique. And I had never heard of that technique before. I'd maybe had missed any training that discussed that, but I was very intrigued to go sit in with Jerry so that I could witness this technique. And we get through so that we start to break ungodly soul ties, and we broke his, which is, you know, that's one of the things that I've learned so far, is that the soul ties are so significant, and that
yes,
so much can be broken when you break ungodly soul ties. And
yes,
when you have, you know, sinful or some kind of ungodly connection with, whether it was a parent or sibling or a spouse or an ex-spouse, when you break those soul ties, it's like an, you know, it's like a whole new person when you break through that. So we break through his soul ties, and we get to his deliverance and his problem list. And Jerry starts, he first starts speaking to him and starts directly using the head demon technique, and this guy was unresponsive. And me being, you know, naive and early in this training, I'm getting a little discouraged that we're not getting through to this guy, but I, you know, I trust Jerry, and I know, you know, he knows what he's doing. And so he starts to go through the problem list, and he gets through. What I pulled from Jerry is that when we go through the problem list, instead of going down one by one, he really hears the Holy Spirit and decides to hear which group to tackle first. And he had got to a specific group, and I believe it was the group of bondage. And this guy, it was like a light switch had turned on. The manifestations from this man were so powerful that this guy who was sitting at this at his seat with his hands folded and really non-responsive was now fighting off this spirit, and his head was shaking, his hands were shaking, and he had clenched fists at one point. And then I looked at Jerry, and this was when it was go time. It was as if like, okay, this is now we're getting through. And Jerry had spoken directly again to the head demon, and the head demon instantly started responding. I mean, with clear cut answers. And when before there was nothing coming out of this guy. And what's incredible is when I was done with this man that night, I got in my car and I thought, like, you know, I kind of thought over what just happened. And what was amazing is that throughout the entire process, I never was worried or anxious or nervous or unsure of what to do. It was as if, like, in that presence, Jerry and I were warriors together, breaking through this guy.
Yes.
And
the greater one.
And I had never done that before.
You were in the attack.
And it was as if, like,
awesome.
I had gone through training for many years or something. And
the Holy Spirit rose up within you, Aaron. Yeah.
Right. Can you hear me?
So what else? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this is when we start, or Jerry starts directly speaking with this head demon. And this demon starts responding with answers, and that the head demon was this demon of cancer. And he had asked, how long have you been there? And he said, 20 years. And he had asked him, how many demons reside behind you? He said, 15. And you know, to me, for the first time to be able to hear this kind of technique take place, it's just incredible to know that right before, you know, this man had no answers and really wasn't giving us much information, and then after we broke through, he was so specific with things that there's no way this man is making these answers up. I mean, this is, we are without a doubt speaking directly to the head demon that resides within this man. And we began to break through and lay hands on him and renounce these demons to come out, and that we were sending in warring angels. And what was amazing is that, this is also a side note for me, is that the week before, I have a physical Bible, but lately I had been reading on my phone, and I really felt the Holy Spirit say that I needed to get a physical Bible, just so that, you know, I could be an example to my son, and so that he could see that, you know, I bring my Bible to church and that I have an actual Bible to read. And so I had got a Bible like probably 4 days before this, and Jerry had his, and he looked at me and he asked me to use mine, and that was the first time that I used my Bible as a physical weapon. And I just thought, that, you know, how incredible is that? That before then I didn't have a Bible, and this time I sit in with Jerry, and I need to use it.
Yeah, the Bible is like a sword to those spirits. They,
yes.
And there's scriptures along those lines. It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
Well, we start placing the Bible on this man, and it was as if, like, you could feel. I mean, you could feel the spirits releasing out of him. I mean, it started from like his lower back and stomach area, and you could feel them release out. And
praise God.
We get through, and we get through that head demon, and we clear those out. And then it was as if, like, he had come back out of that, and he said he had felt better, he had felt lighter. But then Jerry hadn't been done with the problem list, and we started going again, and then we realized that this guy still needs some breakthrough. And as Jerry is going, this guy starts to lock up again, similar to the way that it happened with the head demon. And Jerry then
probably
starts speaking to him
demon.
Again. And this man hears that there's a spirit or a demon of apostasy that was inside of him. So I write that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, what was funny is that the head demon of cancer was, it gave specific answers, but it was not near as responsive as the spirit of apostasy. I just thought that was interesting, that when Jerry would speak to the spirit of apostasy, it answered every question. It did everything that Jerry asked him to do. And it was just much more talkative. And
some, they all vary, don't they? Every one of them's different.
Right.
Yeah.
And we get, you know, Jerry asks, you know, what demons are inside of you? And he says he has 12. And he starts listing off some of these demons and the lies that it's been feeding him. And then he turns around and asks the demon, what gifts does this man have? And he starts listing him off. He has gifts of faith and gifts of love, gifts of hope and gifts of miracles. And I write all these down, and we break through these final spirits, and they're released. And it was as if this person was a completely different person when we got out of this deliverance.
Praise God.
And
that was probably a co-head demon.
Amazing
Aaron,
thing was that Jerry had written down all of his gifts and lies that this spirit had been feeding this man, and he turned and walked him through all the lies that these spirits had sold to him, and then the gifts that this man had. And it was as if this guy had never heard these things before. Like, he had never He had never heard of these the gifts that this spirit that talked about.
I'll bet he was hearing the lies in his
right.
head.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was.
That's something, and a lot of people don't know about the gifts, but the demons do, and that's why they're trying to lie and block their lives.
Right.
Well, we just got about a minute left here before the next caller. Do you have anything as we wind up here, Aaron, that you might share with the listeners that you haven't that you think would be important?
Sure. I think that the biggest, so far, the biggest takeaway that I've taken from these last 2 months is that it's just the incredible power that the authority that we have as Christ followers. I mean, it's amazing that the tools that we have at our disposal that God has blessed us with, and many of us don't even realize that we have the kind of authority that we have. Even though it says scripturally, and it shows the kind of authority that we have as Christ followers to, you know, cast out demons, heal the sick, it's just amazing how much power that our hands have for the kingdom. And I'm really grateful that, you know, I'm learning this now, and that, you know, these are kind of things that I can take with me for the rest of my life. I mean,
yes, Aaron, at your age of 27, priceless. Think what you can do through the coming years. You can literally set thousands and thousands of people free and see them healed.
Right.
So praise God. Go for it.
Yes, fantastic testimony, Aaron. It's really good to hear a young man getting in this battle. We do thank you for calling this evening, and God bless. We do have our next caller on the line.
Thanks, Aaron. Thank you. Blessings to you.
You too.
Caller, are you there?
Hi. Loopy? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Loopy. Thank you for calling. And
thank you for having
me
on.
You kind of know the format. Yeah, I know you have some things to share, and you might go ahead and tell the listeners how you learned about this type of ministry, this works of Jesus, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay, that would be great. First of all, I'm so thankful to be here and be able to share my story. I have a friend that told me about the ministry, deliverance ministry, and I was going through some stuff at the time, and she was taking the classes and everything, and she said this might be something that I would be interested in. And so I'm always open to more of what the Lord has for us, and so I'm going to take a couple of steps back. In the last 2 years, the Lord has been delivering me from a lot of different stuff. I went through the 12-step Christian recovery program first, and that helped me to learn to surrender. And as a Christian, we need to learn to surrender instead of sweeping things under the rug. Learning to surrender is the biggest thing. And so once it took me to deliverance ministry, this actually helped get rid of the rest of the gunk that I was carrying. And I've been a Christian for 35 years, and I knew there was more to our walk than what I was experiencing. I kept telling people, when are we going to start living the Word? When are we going to start walking the Word? Because I knew the scripture that the Lord said, you know, I'm sending you the helper, and you're going to be doing greater things than I have done. And so that scripture always resonated in my life, and I would ask people, and nobody had an answer for me. And so I knew there was more to our walk than what it was, but here's the basis of it. You have to be set free from a lot of your past in order for you to be able to walk that walk. there's a lot of stuff in our lives that we're carrying, and even as Christians, we don't realize that we're carrying this stuff. We think that we have resolved it, and we're living a Christian life, and here's how I learned to handle it, was sweeping things under the rug, and thinking I surrendered to it, let it go. So I had not. And so as Christians, I believe that everyone should go through deliverance ministries, because we're carrying things we're not even aware that we're carrying. And so I experienced a freedom that didn't even know was possible. It took me 3 weeks to go through the deliverance part, because for whatever situation, maybe I need to go into more depth. I don't know. It's just the way God planned it. And so the last week that I went through the deliverance part, the next week I'm stuttering. And so, and the reason I'm saying I'm stuttering is because my Lord and Savior grabbed a hold of my mind, my heart, my spirit, my mouth, and as I'm speaking, he's saying to me in my mind, are you sure you want to say that? So I was having to rethink everything I was going to say, because, you know, as we know, our words can either bring life or death. And all of my life, I've learned that we need to be positive speakers and thinkers. So anyway, that was the experience I had. I was lighter. It's just unbelievable what you feel that's gone, the baggage that's gone. And so, I really, really like the fact that even whenever I'm looking at somebody, the unfortunate thing is our mind can be judgmental. The minute that I'm thinking something negative towards somebody, I say, Lord, please forgive me. Please take that thought from me. And I never knew that you could live in the moment, as much in the moment with him as I'm living. So,
praise God.
That's my experience. 2 weeks ago, since I'm bilingual, a gentleman came in with his family, and I translated the first deliverance that night. And this gentleman
in Spanish
was just like me. Didn't really think there was anything going on in his life. But as you start asking questions and you start delving at some of the things that's happened, traumas or such things as that, then you start finding out where the baggage is. And so we go through the deliverance part of it and find out that he's holding a lot of animosity towards his brothers. He was the youngest of a big family. Usually Latinos or Latin families have a big family, and I as well come from one. And so the only reason I understood that, with him being the youngest, I knew there was some there had to been something. There's big families are struggling to be noticed, struggling for the parents to be there, active in your life. And so he had been dealing with his brothers. And then being Latino also, and I come from a family that my mother dealt with that too. In Spanish, they call it curanderos. And that is a Everett, help me with that. Is that a witch doctor?
Abuela. It's probably like a witch.
Yeah, they're doing incantations and everything for healing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like a witch doctor. I think they call them the brujas or something like that. Anyway.
Bruja.
So,
bruja.
Yeah. And so anyway, 3 years ago, he started getting sick. He couldn't move. It got worse and worse and worse. And that they go to this witch doctor, and the witch doctor said somebody has put a hex on you. Anyway, they had thrown some graveyard dirt on his yard, and he happened to he was thinking it was dirt. He threw it on his land. Well, anyway, so that's where it all started. Their house, he started feeling people in their house. He started having just all kinds of, I call it demons, that were surrounded the family. The daughter couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
He couldn't sleep. He slept 2 hours at a time. And so, anyway, we went through the deliverance part, and what I've noticed in the ones that I've set in, their countenance is dreary, not as shiny when you first start talking to them. And once they've been delivered, it's like at the end of the session, they're glowing, and you can see the light in their eyes, and there's just such a change in their life. And what we're seeing is, I asked him how he felt, and he said, "I have never felt this light in all my life. I feel good. I feel I feel all these things." And then he was, everything was good. He thought we were done. And then we did the adjustments.
The leg,
of course, one leg was shorter than the other. And so we commanded that leg to adjust, and for his hips to adjust. And he saw it. And I said, "Did you feel anything?" He said, "Yes. I felt my body adjust." And so anyway,
power's
he did
in
that
your
with
name.
His arms too, and he had one shorter than the other, and they adjusted. And he was just in such an awe, and so he was happy. He went through all this, and what I helped him to understand that he can no longer do what he'd been doing before, the curanderos and stuff like that. And so I encouraged his wife, because he doesn't read a whole lot, so I told her I should at least highlight these Bible verses. So if he doesn't read everything, I said at least he can read the Bible verses that keep him free. And so anyway, that was a great, great session. I felt good because I'm doing God's work now. The work that I'd been asking people before, I'm doing his work. And
yes, you're in the middle of the action, Loopy, and this man did not speak any English, so that was, praise God, you were there and to be able to minister to him. Well, Loopy,
we had a pretty interesting case.
Yes, well, you did good. We had a pretty interesting case this last Monday. You might share about that.
Last Monday. Okay, so here's the thing. The Monday before, I almost didn't go to the meeting or to the class, and the Lord's like, "I need you there." I was like, "Okay, I'll be there." And that's whenever I was able to translate. Then this Monday, the week before, I was like, "Lord, what if I start seeing these demons and stuff coming out of people because I dealt with fear before all this started happening. I dealt with fear, and so fear's been taken out of me. Fear no longer has room in my life. There's a long story behind
that. Praise God.
So I dealt with fear, and so I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what's going to happen, you know, if I run into this? So before I got there Monday evening, I said, Lord, I need you to put me with whoever you need me to be for me to learn. And then we had this young lady that came. Everett had me go in there with him, and people had been telling me the experience of you start yawning and that they start coming out, these demons start coming out. And everything that we had talked about it before, Everett, it happened through Everett. He spoke with the demons. There was two main demons there. And if I'm correct, there was 157 all together. And,
right.
But
and she couldn't even hardly talk in the beginning.
Do what?
She couldn't even hardly talk in the beginning. It was really difficult to get into it. The demons had her so bound up she couldn't hardly talk. Go ahead.
Yes, she couldn't hardly talk. And at first, I thought she was faking it. Of course, you remember, I'm just going through the classes. I'm learning. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, you got to show me. And he showed me that this was really happening. But it's not scary like the TV depicts it.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's the Lord taking over all this and getting it out of there. But yeah, because of all the trauma she had went through, she couldn't hardly speak to forgive her brother, and she couldn't hardly speak anything about the Lord. Those demons had her all tied up, and of course through the years that was their way of controlling her. Her system just shut down to where she had no opinion. She didn't speak. Fear had gripped a hold of her. And so, but as soon as Everett took over and ordered the demons to be bound up, and everything he said they were doing. And the craziest thing was, he ordered, because the demon was not cooperating. He was not cooperating, and Everett said, point to me where the most authoritative angel is. And it pointed. So whenever it would not cooperate, Everett ended up ordering the angel to poke him in the back to make him to move. And she was under. Her personality was under. The demon had taken over. And when he ordered that angel to poke him, I saw her move just like when someone pokes you in the back three times. Everett said, poke him three times. And that's how she moved. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I saw that, too.
She did not, when it was all said and done, everything that we went through with her, all of the deliverance, she remembered hearing voices but did not hear everything that we were talking about, because she was under subconsciously. And that was her way of escaping and not dealing with trauma as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so even her countenance changed. And she, Everett, did you notice that she was speaking more, not like barely speaking when she first sat down, but when she was leaving and we had talked about, she was speaking clearer, like an adult.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Even her speech had changed.
Oh, yeah. Well, she hardly had any speech, you know, in the beginning. And then here she's vivacious and outgoing when we wound up. Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting deliverance.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I was kind of scared of what I would see because we've all watched TV and all, but they depict everything horribly. And so the Lord actually answered my prayer by allowing me to be in there with you and to see a deliverance where it actually, she started yawning and they all started coming out. And it was crazy. She couldn't stop yawning. It was just like constant for a few minutes there.
Yeah.
And so our Lord is mighty and he will answer all of our prayers if we just ask. But a lot of times we walk around and we don't ask. We just want him to do. But our relationship with him has to be with us asking him.
And another thing, she had a short leg that was pretty spectacular.
Yes. Well, even her arm. Remember, she said she had a surgery. She'd had a surgery a few years ago that one of her arms was shorter than the other, and it adjusted as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we just had an earthquake here. Knocked some pictures down. Did you feel it? Did you feel the earthquake?
No.
Okay, well, it was really strong, and Edmund here knocked some pictures off the wall. I'm surprised you didn't hear it or feel it.
Yeah, I don't ever hear them.
It's about the loudest one I've heard.
But this has been such a true, amazing walk for me after 35 years of being a Christian. Finally seeing the Lord's work on this earth. And I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he said, the more people we deliver, the more ground we are winning back for the Lord.
Yes, and amen, so amen on that. Amen. I don't mean to cut you short here, ma'am, but we are just about out of time. Thank you for calling in and giving your testimony.
Great testimony.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
No problem.
And thank you for your work, sister.
Well, a
couple of great testimonies and an earthquake on air.
Could you hear it?
No, I couldn't hear it, but...
I'm surprised you couldn't hear it. It was about the loudest one I've been around.
That's pretty neat.
It shook the whole place here. And
thank everybody for tuning in this evening, and we will see everybody next week. Have a great
all
night.
All right, God bless you, Ralph.
Right.
Blessings
Bye-bye.
To y'all.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. Hope's not September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn like the storm.